whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's finally past 3 o'clock on Wednesday.
Yeah.
We can figure out what the hell happened last week.
And we can start getting excited about this week.
Well, you got to check me now because I want to almost jump right to it. Because it is time on the River Islands guest line to go to the executive producer of NFL Films, who breaks it down like none other and joins us every single week. And that is Greg Cosell. And I'm fighting the desire to immediately go to the fact that Dre Greenlaw is playing football tomorrow and what that means. But I'll hold it, Greg. We'll push that off. How you doing first and foremost?
I'm doing great, but we don't really have any idea what that means. He hasn't played football in a long time.
Correct, but I would like to know historically what that has meant for Fred Warner when Dre Greenlaw is also on the field with him.
Well, you know, it's really funny. Every once in a while, I do a ton of draft work, and every once in a while, I get one right, you know, or I try anyway. And I loved him coming out of college, and everybody said he was too small because, you know, he's not a big guy, and it's turned out that he's been kind of what I thought he'd be based on his college tape. So I really love him as a player. I just don't know in his first game back after not playing, you know, since the first half of the Super Bowl or whatever it was that, number one, we don't know how many snaps he'll play, and it's just hard to know the answer to that. But I love the player.
Yeah, I like the pick, and I love the player as well, Greg. And I can't help but think about Devondre Campbell in this moment because I thought, looking at the film, that he had his best game of the season against Chicago. What did you see from the Bears game from Campbell?
Well, the Bears are not a very good offense. But no, Campbell played well. I thought that the defense played well. Obviously, they played extremely well because the Bears had 4 yards in the first half. So they did a really good job with their front. The linebackers played well. They just looked like they were much faster than the Bears. Sometimes you watch tape and it just looks like one team is playing at one speed and the opposing team is playing at a much slower speed. That's exactly what that game looked like with the Bear, with the 49ers defense versus the Bears offense.
Greg, there's been a lot, this won't surprise you, a lot of conversation about Deebo Samuel this week. Actually, every week for that matter. But he tweeted yesterday something that got everybody going, or maybe it was a couple of days ago, but he essentially indicated, no, I'm playing just fine, I'm just not getting the ball. And you can interpret that a bunch of ways, but I guess the question I want to ask you is, when you see the struggles for Deebo Samuel's numbers, do you see a player who's not performing as well, or do you see a scheme that's not performing as well?
I would probably say the second one. I mean, we've talked about that, and I thought this game, for instance, even though he didn't necessarily have a ton of catches, I thought this game schematically was just high-level brilliance by Kyle Shanahan. I mean, they just ate up those zone coverage concepts of the Bears, particularly in the first half, and that was just the competitive phase essentially ended after the first half. I mean, Purdy threw for 258 in the first half. And I thought that what they did with their route concepts, with their use of shifts and motions, it was just sheer brilliance. I mean, it looked like he knew exactly what he was going to get from the defense, which was probably true, by the way, and they just broke it down, and the Bears played high percentage zone in the first half, and it looked easy.
Talk to me about one of the few times they did play man, and they sent Isaac Garendo out on a wheel route. It seemed like Brock Purdy was able to diagnose that pre-snap. And even though that may not have been the play design, threw a great ball in that play.
Yeah, I think it might not have been man across the board, but I think he read the situation to the boundary, because he read the coverage to the boundary knowing that Sanborn would have to run with Garendo. Okay, just, you know, that's what he saw, and he was right. So he my guess is he did audible to that once he read that, and so he was able to take advantage of the fact that Sanborn, who doesn't play many snaps, they were in 21 personnel. So the Bears on that particular play, because the Bears played mostly nickel, even versus 21 personnel and even versus two tight ends. But on that given play, and I'm sure that's exactly what Purdy noticed, it was the third possession of the game. They were in three linebackers. They were in their base 4-3 defense, and Sanborn was to that side. So he saw that. Now, he had to make a difficult throw because the left tackle, Moore, actually made a mistake. He did not block the defensive end. Instead, he expanded for the blitzer Byard, which is wrong. He should be blocking the first level defensive end, and that forced Purdy to have to throw it off balance. It was a lot like there was a play like that to McCaffrey last year, as I recall.
Indeed, there was. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Greg Cosell with us, Withered and Dibs, every single week, NFL Films. Greg, while we're on the topic of Garendo, just a big opportunity for him to kind of take a lead back role. Yeah. What did you think of the way he performed?
Yeah, and I think he fits because he's kind of one cut, because he's downhill. He's a velocity runner. He's a speed runner. You wouldn't call him shifty, but it's that one cut, hit it with speed. So he fits the system really, really well, and he's got a lot of juice. And he's got good size. He's a big man. He's not a small back. But I think, you know, with this particular zone run scheme, and I thought in this game, I thought that Kyle sort of went back to basics, to the zone run game as the foundation of the offense, with the play-action pass game working off that. And Garendo is at his best, as I said, as a one-cut downhill runner with burst velocity. And again, you know, talking about the play-action pass game, I mean, Purdy was ridiculously good in the play-action pass game. In the first half, he was 8 for 8 for 132 yards on play action, and 7 of those passes came from under center, and 4 of them came out of 21 personnel. So to me, Kyle went back to basics.
And part of the basics that I saw, Greg, was the screen game, especially with George Kittle. What did you make of those passes to Kittle and how it worked against a very aggressive Bear defense?
Yeah, they clearly wanted to get Kittle in space, and that's, you know, that was one way to do it. And they did it twice, as I recall, correct? I think they did it twice.
Yep.
And they did it on their first possession with the 33-yarder, which was and I thought, you know, it's funny, you talk about backs. On that particular play, on that first possession, the 33-yarder, I thought Garendo did a terrific job because he abandoned the play fake to pick up the blitzing Gordon. And that's what they teach backs. Don't just go through the play fake if there's somebody who's going to run by you. You know, so he abandoned the play fake. He picked up the blitzing Gordon, and that allowed the play to happen. Then I'm trying to remember the second one. But anyway, there were two screens to Kittle, which were very, very successful. Oh, it was the middle screen. It was the middle screen, which is another. That's always been one of my favorite plays, the middle screen. And Purdy, see, that to me is the details and the nuance of playing quarterback, because I thought Purdy did an outstanding job showing drop back footwork. And if you, when I watched that play multiple times, what that did is it got the linebackers, Edmonds and Edwards, to drop into their zone coverage responsibilities because they saw it as a drop-back pass. And then they were set up and taken out of it as far as the screen game. So that was really, really good job by Purdy.
Greg, let's talk a little bit more about Purdy, because over the last month, it's been a little bit of a mixed bag. You have had some comments about how it hasn't been as effective. He has not played as well this year, and then there was the injury and the snow game. What about this one, and where you know, what did you see different, if anything, this time around?
Well, I think they're schematics that always help a quarterback. I mean, that's the case with any quarterback, whether we think they're great, average, or not great. You know, it's coaching and scheme as well. And as I said, they went back to basics. They put them under center. They went with the play-action pass game, which was really, really effective. And he was very decisive in everything he did in this game. And, you know, getting the ball to Kittle on those screens, those are no-read throws. I mean, those are just basic plays. They're no-read throws. So, you know, but they got him, I think, in his comfort zone, because Purdy can do certain things well, but we're not talking about, you know, Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes in terms of overall talent. So, you know, he needs the system to be defined, and he can operate the system at a high level. And that's what this game was.
It seemed like the system was designed to get Kittle the ball a lot. You mentioned the screens and down the middle, but also Juwan Jennings. When you look at the film, were you seeing most of the plays first read throws by Brock Purdy where he didn't have to get off his primary based on what the Bears were doing defensively?
Yeah, I would say that that's fair, and I think that's coaching. I think that that's every coach wants that to be the case. It doesn't always happen, obviously, for multiple reasons, but that's what you're trying to do. Every coach, when they call a play, calls a play with a purpose. They don't just randomly call plays. And the defense often dictates, because coaches pretty much know what other coaches do. That's coaches coach against coaches more than people. There are very few people in the NFL that change the way you're going to play. There's not many of those guys. So coaches coach against coaches. You know, I think that Kyle had a great feel for what he was going to get from the Bears defense, and he attacked it about as well as you could attack any defense.
Greg, let's transition a little bit to tomorrow night, and first start with this. Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay, they know one another so well, and we get to see it at least twice a year.
Yep.
In the past, when these two have matched up, what do you sort of notice about how they try to attack each other when I think, as you've said, they know what each other, they know what they're going to do.
They do, but they also have, they're not going to dramatic. Look, I can't speak to the small tweaks. I'd have to be sitting in the meeting rooms to know the little things, the little changes that they're going to make. So I'm going to be honest and say, I'm not going to know that, but they're not going to dramatically change who they are. So when you talk about the Rams offense, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get a lot of motion. You're going to get Stafford under center with play action. I think he's thrown the most play action passes under center other than Jared Goff. That's not going to change. They're not all of a sudden going to become a different offense. You're going to get the run game, of course. I mean, this past week, Williams, I think, had 29 carries. Even though he only averaged about 3 yards a rush, he had 29 carries. So you know that you know what you're going to get. You're going to get a lot of reduced splits. So it's just a matter of how you handle that. Like, is Nick Sorensen going to make adjustments, you know, just based on, hey, I know what we're going to get. We're going to have to do these things better. Maybe we'll adjust in a certain way to try to deal with it. But that's what you're going to get. Now, I think DeMarcus Robinson might be out this week from what I'm reading. So he's become a really important player in their offense.
Yeah, questionable is the official listing here as we sit about 26 hours away from kick. And I can't get over, Greg, the fact that they run so much 11 personnel. But what they're doing now with Puka Nacua, describe to our listeners just how different it is now with Puka becoming really wide receiver one for this Rams offense.
Yeah, and Puka fits that really, really well, because with all the motion that they run, with Nacua, with Kupp, is they get free access off the ball. Nacua is he's not explosive in the sense that he's straight line fast, but he's very powerful. There's a physical presence to the way in which he moves, and he's terrific run after catch. So when you get free access off the ball, they can get him the ball. They don't ask him to win a lot, let's say one-on-one outside the numbers, because that's not really his game. But they get him the ball often on the move. You know, we often talk about that, you know, when Samuel's at his best.
Yep.
How do you want to get Samuel the ball? You want to get him the ball in space on the move. Nacua is that guy, and he's such a physical player. You need a lot of bodies to get him down. And, you know, and the key thing, and the Bills this past week could not really generate any meaningful pressure on Stafford. And look, you guys have seen Stafford for years. He's arguably a Hall of Fame quarterback. When he is clean in the pocket, he still may be the best pure thrower in the league. It's just so pretty to watch. So you need to get pressure on Matthew Stafford.
It's interesting you brought Debo's name up, because as you were describing Puka's game, I'm sitting there thinking, gosh, it sounds like he's talking about Debo. And Puka got 5 carries in this game last week. How would you compare those two players and currently how the teams are deploying them?
Puka did get some carries. That was probably a little thing they added situationally. I don't know if he's going to be used, you know, the way the 49ers have used Samuel over these last number of years, where wherever they are on the field, they could put him in the backfield and run him on base running plays. I doubt you'll see Nacua doing that. I think the way they would run him would be purely situational, as they did last week. You know, I think they're similar, but they're different. And that's true of a lot of players. I mean, I think as a pure receiver, Nacua might have a little more to him, but they are pretty similar. But they're both physical. They're both incredibly strong. They're both really good run after catch. You know, you're right about Nacua. It seems like he's become receiver number one within the context of their offense. But, you know, if Robinson doesn't go, you're going to see a lot of Atwell. And while Atwell's not a volume target necessarily, you got to be careful about him because he brings speed. And clearly we saw last week that the Niners made a change in the secondary. They benched Brown, and it was Hufanga and Mustafa. And Mustafa is just nuts when it comes to playing the run.
Well, and he's out, Greg. He's out. That got announced today, so we would love to hear.
Oh, he's out for tomorrow. So it'll be Brown again.
Yeah, so what do you see with Jair Brown right now? Because a lot of fans are concerned.
Well, obviously they are too because they benched him.
Yeah.
So you know, look, I don't think he's a bad player. Like, I don't think you're putting in a guy that can't play. But obviously they didn't feel he was doing what needed to be done in order to, you know, to stay on the field when Hufanga came back. So, you know, I think there's a concern that he's struggled a bit with his recognition, and therefore his reaction time has been a beat slower than you'd ideally like. I think his eyes at times have been in the wrong place. So, you know, this is a tough offense to play against. There's a ton of motion. You have to decide how you want to deal with the motion. To me, again, I'm not Nick Sorensen or Kyle Shanahan, so I don't know their thoughts, but I don't think you want to have to do a lot of communication. You know, you might see a lot of two shell, two high safety structure because that balances your defense and you don't have to worry about changing strength of offense with motion because the defense is balanced with two high safeties. So my guess is you might see a good amount of that.
And you look at what happened the first time these two teams met, and Kyren Williams had his way on the ground, especially in the second half. And then you look at the last game where the Niners' defensive front was dominant against the Bears. Should we take that with a grain of salt because Chicago's offensive line is not very good?
Yeah, and wasn't that first game week three or so? That was early in the season.
Yep.
I think both these teams are totally different right now. So again, I'm not saying that the coaches are not going to watch that game because it's head-to-head, and they always do that. But and as I said, coaches coach against coaches, so they're always looking for concepts that they anticipate that they'll get and that they pretty much know they'll get. But I think in terms of how the teams play, like for instance, the it'll be very interesting to see how the Rams play on defense because the 49ers play a ton of base personnel because the Rams have evolved over the course of a season. They play a ton of big nickel now with three safeties. The rookie Kitchens has become a big factor. They haven't played a snap of what I would call conventional nickel with three corners in the last probably 2-3 weeks. So their defense in terms of the use and deployment of personnel is totally different than it was week three. They were not playing McCullough at all week three, and now he's a foundational piece of their sub defenses.
I don't know if there's anything we can take from that one that applies tomorrow night. I mean, Greg, there was no Kittle, there was no Debo, there was no
Correct.
Cooper Kupp, there was no Puka.
The
Rams were missing two offensive linemen. I mean, yeah, like these rosters tomorrow night.
They're totally different.
They're fundamentally different. Yeah.
They're totally different teams right now. And again, having said that, it's still the coaches, but in terms of the people that will be on the field, there's going to be a lot of different people, and you know, that's just the way it is. I mean, it's week three probably, you know, seems like it happened 5 years ago.
No doubt. And you know, you look at these two teams and it seems like every time McVay and Shanahan get together, it's almost a mirror image offensively of one another. How much of the Shanahan offense do you see around the league? We know it's a copycat league, but it seems to me, Greg, that more and more teams are now emulating what Shanahan does offensively.
Well, yes and no, because one of the things you have to be able to do really well is throw the ball between the numbers. And that's hard for quarterbacks. And it's hard for a lot of young quarterbacks coming into the league because the college game is not like that at all, because the hash marks are wider and the college game is played on the perimeter. And the NFL game is often played between the numbers. So it's, you know, I think teams look at concepts. They look at the run game element in particular with the 49ers because their run game elements are really, really good. And then how they work off that. They did that exceptionally well this week. So I think teams look at that, but your quarterback has to be really comfortable throwing the ball in the middle of the field. There's a lot of bodies. And, you know, sometimes young quarterbacks, I mean, I'll tell you a very quick story. Kevin O'Connell, before he became a coach, he was in our broadcast boot camp here at NFL Films, and I got to know Kevin really well. And he said to me at a lunch break, you know, he said, "Hey, let's go watch tape. I want to watch tape with you." And we were talking ball, and, you know, he came out of San Diego State and was drafted in the third round. And he said, "Man, when I got to the NFL, I dropped back and I thought there were 15 defenders on the field. Because, you know, all of a sudden, everything happens more in the middle of the field in the NFL. And those are harder throws. So, you know, Purdy is really, really good at that. You know, Garoppolo did a pretty good job with that as well, because that was foundational to how they played. But that stuff's hard to do.
Greg, real quick on Nick Sorensen and the defense for the 49ers. I think with Nick Bosa being out for this period of time, a lot of people have been expecting him to get more creative and go away from that vanilla sort of just rush four and see what happens kind of approach. We still don't know about Nick's status for tomorrow night, but the defense was so successful, especially in the first half against the Bears. I wanted to ask if you saw any tweaks about what Sorensen did as opposed to what he had been doing in the 2-3 weeks before?
Well, I'm sure there are tweaks, but if you're asking me if they started pressuring more, like blitzing more, no, they're not a heavy blitz team, and my guess is that's not going to happen. Now, there were some snaps where they moved Floyd around, and he became kind of a stand-up joker. I think they did that. You might see more of that. They use Gross Matos both inside and outside. I think you'll continue to see more of that. So I think you'll see more movement of players in different alignments and different positions, but I don't think there'll be a heavy blitz team, and my guess is they will not be a heavy blitz team against the Rams.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films, I think we made it through our conversation, it sounds like, without either of us saying something that stupid, Greg.
Well, I mean, you know, the tape pretty much tells you what's going on.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, the 49er offense this week, this was a clinic, the way Kyle just broke down that Bear defense, which, by the way, does not have bad players.
Did you mean the tape of the game or the tape of our show?
Right, both.
Well, both, obviously.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
There it
yeah.
is. There it is. Greg, awesome. We'll
Thanks,
talk
Greg.
To you next week, my friend.
All right, guys, appreciate it. Thanks.
There he goes. That's Greg Cosell, NFL Film.